moving through. Last week, all of us means we need to submit. The first place of submission is to Jesus. In Jeremiah 29:13, it says this: "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Now, just prior to this is that verse that's well known, 29:11. "I know the plans for you, plans to give you hope and a future." And we talked about the importance of understanding the context of that. It's important that we take Scripture and use that to understand our lives, not our lives and use our lives to understand Scripture. Sometimes people will take that 29 verse 11, "I know the plans for you," and say, "Hey, you're in a tough moment right now, but this year or maybe next, it's going to change, it's going to get better. And you're going to have all of your wildest dreams, anything that you ever wanted, come true." And that's when we start to take Scripture out of context. Now, does that mean that we don't have hope and a future? Absolutely not. We 100% have hope and a future. And it was interesting this week as I met with people, I kept hearing God say to them, "You have hope and a future." But that hope and that future might look a little different than you think. That hope and that future is when you set your hearts and your minds and everything you are on Jesus. And so that's where we were last week, submission to Christ. Now let's get those definitions of submission up there again. The first one is the action or fact of accepting or yielding to a superior force or to the will or authority of another person. Now this fits and this makes sense because we understand that God is that superior force. Now the second definition is a little bit simpler, a little bit more clear. The state of being obedient. The state of being obedient. And I would suggest to you that a lot of the problems that we face in our lives, as those who would identify as followers of Christ, a lot of our problems come from a lack of submission. Because if we truly took God's heart and God's will for us, and we understand that, and we allowed that to play out in our lives, it would all of a sudden make things go well. Now, does that mean that it would make things easy? No. Does that mean that you won't have problems? No. But when you are living the day-to-day in obedience to Jesus, all of a sudden, every single thing you do has meaning and purpose. And even when you have something that's hard, you can take that and give thanks for it because God is going to take those difficult things and use them and can and will use them for His kingdom purpose. See, the hope and the prosperity that we have is in the future. And that is a guaranteed. We are living a life now in the kingdom of God that is coming but has not yet fully arrived. So this battle, this war that we're in, has already been won, and we are the ones who are moving it to completion. Okay? In the book of John, Jesus says this, John 16:33. "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Okay? So even in the midst of those difficult, anybody here have a difficult time this week? Anybody? Okay, so we're at about half. So that means half of you must have had amazing weeks. Right? I love it. Some absolutely. Some aren't quite being honest. We all face difficult times. When we are in Christ, we have the peace that helps us in the midst of those moments, those situations, to keep moving. As soon as we take our eyes off Jesus and look at our problems or ourselves or whatever else, that peace, have you noticed? The peace evaporates. All of a sudden, the heaviness comes back in. But when we take our eyes our spiritual eyes and we fix them on Jesus, then we have that peace. It's a promise. Now, just before we jump into this next part in our message, Revelation 21 says this, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth." This is what we have coming, okay? And we sometimes get so bogged down in the day-to-day or the week-to-week or the month-to-month that we forget what we actually have coming. We forget that eternity is a real thing, that we are actually spiritual and physical beings. Okay, Revelation 21. "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them.'" How many of us have just craved and longed to see and reach out and touch God? Many, many, many. It's coming. Church, it's coming. "They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." We are in the old order, carrying within us the new order. And it's really important that we understand that. Jesus brought the kingdom near. When we receive Christ, we carry that new order within us. But the new order hasn't fully come. It's a bunch of new order living within the old order. You could almost think about it like this. You are carrying within you a good virus, the virus that will cure everything around you. And the only way that you can carry that, the only way, and with this virus, the Holy Spirit, you want to infect people. The only way you take that infection out, are we okay with this image? Okay. The only way we take this infection out is by being obedient, living our lives in submission to Jesus. By keeping in step with the Spirit, as it says in Galatians, by listening, "Lord, what would you have me do? Where would you have me go? How would you have me live? Who would you have me speak to?" And God will use you to take that new order, that new way of being, of living, and to bring that and share it out. "There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." Now, let's be honest. If we live our lives according to Scripture, according to the way that God has ordained, it is really difficult in our world, specific to where we live, it is difficult in our world to fail and not be prosperous. Because when you live the way that God has ordained, when you've got your eyes on him, when you're serving other people, when you're generous, when you're living lives with integrity and morality, you can't help but do well. Now, that's not the case everywhere in the world, but for this moment, right now, in North America, that is still the case. And it's being pushed back, but it's still the case for us. Matthew 16, verse 22. If you've got your Bibles, I want to invite you to turn to that. Peter took him aside. And this is Jesus that he's taken aside. And began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said, "this shall never happen to you." Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Now, it's tough for us to take this one without having a little bit of what's happened just prior to it. So just prior to this, Jesus has asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is? Some say Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. What about you? Who do you say I am?" Peter says this, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus says this, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. And he told his disciples, don't tell people that I'm the Messiah. The time's not yet. And so Peter has this understanding that Jesus is the Messiah, and what is the way that he is seeing the Messiah in? What context or what lens is he looking through? It's the old lens. Peter's living with that old mentality, saying, hey, I'm going to get my kingdom as a Hebrew. The Israelites will be restored to a place of power and authority, and everybody will look at us and be in awe. And so what Jesus starts to do from that time on, Jesus begins to explain that he has to go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the priests, the teachers, and that he must be killed and again raised on the third day. And Peter's taking these two ideas, I'm going to get everything I want, my dream that I've learned about, all of the Old Testament talks about God's faithfulness in restoring the people, the promise. I'm going to get that. And then he's holding, okay, I understand Jesus is the Messiah. And now Jesus is saying that I'm going to die or that he's going to die. And so Peter's looking at Jesus, looking at his ministry through the old lens. And what's happened is Peter has allowed his heart, his mind, his will to be clouded by Satan. Now, often we read this, get behind me, Satan, and we try and say, well, it's Jesus just trying to put Peter in his place and say you're bad. I want to suggest to you that there are two interactions with two different beings here. Okay, the first is an actual rebuke to the enemy, and the second is a rebuke to Peter himself. Now, this first sentence, get behind me, Satan. The Greek words for that are very similar to Matthew 4, verse 8. And I don't know if we have that up there. So if you've got your Bibles, turn to Matthew 4, verse 8. And this is where Jesus is being tempted. He's in the desert. This is his last temptation. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, away from me, Satan. For it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. So Peter's saying and seeing that Jesus needs to come and do it this way, that's going to give him everything he wants in this world. What is Satan saying here? He's saying, look, all the kingdoms, everything in this world you can have, all you have to do is give up who you are and worship me. And Jesus stands on Scripture and he rebukes the devil. And we talked last week about our battle is against flesh and blood. It's very real. It's happening. So you can pretend that it's not and put your blinders on and think that you're okay, but that's not true. That's not true living. And in Christ, you have authority to fight. And that's what we need to start doing. Right? And in those moments where we are disturbed and tempted and the inner place is sought after by the enemy, we need to rebuke the enemy. Get away from me, Satan. By the authority that I have in Jesus, you have no place. And it's really important because the enemy doesn't want you to grab onto that right now. Okay? It's really important that you make space to move this into your way of living obediently. Okay? Now, this doesn't mean that you go looking for the enemy to rebuke everywhere. But when the enemy comes near you and you are marked by Jesus, you have authority to send him away. Okay, so that first exchange, get behind me, Satan. Get away. The second, Jesus says, you are a stumbling block to me, Peter. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns. How often do we get so wrapped up in our worldly concerns that we lose all sight of what we have in Christ? That we are adopted, that we are justified, that we are made holy, that we are united and brought to him. And in that adoption, we receive everlasting life. We are so easily trapped and tricked into our momentary existence and focused on the material world around us, where our view, and Jesus says it again and again, and Paul says it throughout the epistles, look to Jesus, get your eternal focus in mind. The disciples that are with Jesus and that are hearing Jesus still aren't quite grasping that. And it's really interesting that Jesus says this to Peter, because just before that, he said what? I will tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. So just before, he's saying, hey, you're a rock. What happens? Maybe it goes to his head. Maybe it becomes a pride thing, saying, hey, I'm going to build this church. Jesus said I was going to do it. He's going to use me. He's going to set me up to be one of his main guys in this new kingdom that we're bringing. Enemy enters in through pride. And Jesus says, away from me, you are a stumbling block. And the word is actually, it's the opposite type of rock. It's the rock that's in the path that makes people stumble. So Jesus rebukes, he corrects, he pulls out, he casts out the enemy, and he says, hey, get your head in the game, get it straight. Crossroads, hey, get your head in the game and get it straight. You're going to face troubles in this world. Take heart. I have you covered. Do not give in to the troubles. Do not obsess or focus on the troubles. Live obediently to me. Give me your heart. Give me your mind, your will, and emotions. Let me move with you there. Now it goes on in Matthew 16, verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What does that sound like? It sounds like submission. It sounds like letting go of our earthly focus and fixing our eyes on Jesus. Does that mean that we cannot enjoy what God has given us here? Absolutely not. There's so much beauty and so much richness in this world that we can enjoy, but those places and those things cannot take the core of our being. They cannot be what we focus on. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. Picking up a cross and carrying a cross is work. It's heavy, it's real work, but it's good work. So if you're in a place of struggle, if you're in a place of difficulty right now, I want you to take heart. Because God has equipped you to do that work. And I'm looking around, and I know a lot of us here, and I know a lot of the stories that we're moving in, and some of the things that you're facing are really, really hard work. Or some of it is really hard work. God has equipped you to do that work, church. But the way that you do that work is by looking to Jesus, is by submitting your desires for his desires, is by trusting in what he has for you. Just like it says in John 15, I'm the vine, you're the branches, remain in me, abide in me, stay in me. And the promise when we do that is that in the midst of the crazy difficult times, we will have the peace of Jesus. So good. Now, I preached on submission on Sunday, and on Monday I had the privilege of going to meet with one of our friends. And many of us know Casey Wilbur, and we know that she has been in the midst of a really difficult time over the last few years, in all honesty. For those of you who don't know, the cancer has returned that she received treatment for, and the prognosis is not extremely positive from a medical standpoint. And we've prayed, haven't we? We've prayed, and we are going to keep praying. We're not going to stop. But we have prayed with faith, and we have looked to Jesus to bring healing. And until God really clearly says, stop praying, I'm going to take Casey, we're going to keep praying. Now, this is a conversation that I've had with Casey. It's not new, and she's on the same page. But here's the significant thing that I want you to hear, is that while we were there, and it was my wife and I with Steve and Casey, we brought communion, and we sang a couple of songs and did communion with them. There was such a beautiful heart of submission in Casey. And I went, wow, I talked about it yesterday, but wow, you're living it. That in the middle of this threat on your life, of feeling your body being eaten away, you continue to trust, to experience, and to live the peace of Christ. She's doing it. Now, do we stop praying? Absolutely not. Is God able to heal her? Absolutely. 100%. Right? We've got our dear friend, Sister Ivy, who's experienced that specific healing. Right, Ivy? Beautiful. And we celebrate. God can do it. And our role is to keep pressing in and keep seeking him and keep asking for that. Right? But our other role is to be obedient, and when God calls, he calls. And the question is, can you live with that? Because that takes a lot of trust, doesn't it, church? It takes a lot of trust. I just want to, let's pause right now and let's actually pray for Casey. And so, Father, we pray right now for our sister Casey, recognizing that she is in a place of hurt, of pain, but also of peace. And for the peace, we give you thanks, Lord. We ask that you would multiply it. But God, we know you are a God who loves his children. And while you have an eternal plan and a place that is set for us, you also want us to experience your kingdom now. And so we pray that in this moment, as your saints united in agreement, are we in agreement, church? We just ask you would heal Casey, Lord. You can do it and we trust you, Lord. You can do it and we will celebrate. And Lord, if you call Casey home, we will still celebrate because you are a good God. Amen. Do things just a little bit differently. Karen, with your permission, can I invite you up? I'm definitely putting you on the spot here. Right? And you can say no. But do you want to come up? Church. So I'm going to turn my notes off and this is going to move to a three-part series. And something really exciting and really beautiful happened this week. I'm going to give you this, okay? And I'll let you guys make sure she holds the mic close enough to be heard, okay? Now, I'm not going to make you do all the talking, just a little bit. Okay? This is my friend Karen. Karen, do you want to say hi to everybody?
Hi.
I met Karen about, let's say, two years ago, when Karen started to attend Crossroads, and I believe the connection was Mitchell and Lori, who were kind of the movement into church. And when I spoke with Karen earlier, she went to church when she was really young. Was it a Presbyterian church?
It was.
Presbyterian church when she was really young. Unfortunately, skiing eventually got in the way of her continuing to attend church. And when you share your story in full, then I'll let you explain more about that. Remember the skiing. And so there was an awareness that Karen had of God throughout her years, right? An awareness that God is present, God is there, God's alive. So Karen shows up at Crossroads about a year and a half, 2 years ago, and just begins to do life with us, do community with us, got involved in youth through Eli, and has recently started going to Alpha with Bethel that we just mentioned earlier today. And we've got all these various areas that need leadership and roles, and so Karen and I had booked a meeting to talk about her serving in some capacity with the youth, right? Good. Yep. So far?
All good.
On point? Okay, we're on the same page. Now, I'm doing a lot of the talking because I called you up at the last second, right?
And I thank you for that.
Okay, you're welcome. Now, Karen was booked to have a meeting with me last week, and I was looking at my schedule the week prior when I was at the class, and I saw that meeting with Karen, and I just prayed, and I felt like God said, hey, you need to ask her where she's at in her faith, in her relationship to me. It's like Jesus was saying, just ask her where she's at. And so Karen came in, and probably within the first 2 minutes, I broached and said, hey, so tell me about your story. Do you remember what you said?
I think at the time I was thinking, yes, I've been praying around this meeting, and that was something that kept coming up to me as well.
It's good. So we started to talk about who God was in Karen's life, right? Now, you said, I understand the God part. The part that I don't quite get is Jesus. Do you remember? Just tell us a little bit about that. Tell us about that, kind of that struggle. Do you remember the word you used?
Yeah.
Can I say that? No, please. Yeah, of course you can. Yeah, of course.
I was confused that I had to go through a middleman.
That's right. Yeah. So there was resistance around Jesus. And so awareness of even what Jesus did, but why Jesus was necessary. Is that true? Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, one of the things that you said there was struggle with was kind of the laying down your life or that submission. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Tell us just a little bit about that.
I just didn't know how to take that next step.
Yeah. And when we talked, was it that you didn't know how and partially there was reluctance too?
And a lot of shame.
Right. And so Karen was holding all of this, right? Holding this understanding, okay, I know that God loves me, and I hear and see Jesus, but I don't really know why Jesus. And all of the while going, I don't really want to lay my life down, and I'm holding on to this shame. Right? And so we just started to talk about who Jesus was and why Jesus, why we need Jesus, and what that actually means, the significance of that. Right? And that when we choose Jesus, he actually comes and our allegiance, and we talked about kingdom vocabulary. We talked about this last week. There's two kingdoms. You're in one kingdom or the other. You're in the kingdom of darkness, where the prince of the world or Satan is Lord, or you are in the prince, or you are in the kingdom of light, where Jesus is Lord. And Jesus is the way to that kingdom. And it's really important that we hear that and we understand that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. We come to the Father through him. Right?
Amen.
Amen. Come on. That's right. Okay. So what happened was there was still this wrestling match, wasn't there? There was still a wrestling match. And so what I did was I prayed with the authority that I had in Jesus, just that the enemy would be silent, that there would be no place, and just invited you to pray. Right? Now, when you started to pray, I asked you, okay, Karen, what do you see? What's going on? What do you see? Do you remember what you saw? Can you share?
It really felt like a battleground, that there was a lot of, you know, swirling darkness, but light swirling around it, and the light moving in and into my heart.
Yeah, so at no point did I give that illustration or that picture or anything, but Karen, in her prayer, in her moment, saw darkness at the middle and light moving around. Now, I talked to Karen because it's not a formula. Really, it is a surrender of your will, a submission of your will, and a receiving of Christ, right? And while Karen was praying, with her eyes closed and seeing, do you remember the words that you prayed?
I don't remember all of them.
Okay.
What I remember is submitting. And just feeling great love and allowing Jesus to come and sit in my heart.
Mm. Yeah. Okay, so now is the point where we should celebrate like the angels did. Right? Come on. That's good. That's good. So Karen, in the most beautiful, forceful way, prayed and surrendered her life to Jesus and received Christ in. And I thought, wow, Karen is a great prayer, right? And after we're talking, okay, now what do you do with, or I was just giving her some advice on this is what happens because the enemy is not going to like that you've just switched allegiance. He's going to want to take it back. Doubts are going to come, that stuff. You're going to have some trouble. When that comes, this is how you pray. And I want you to pray it out loud. So in Jesus Christ's name, I send you away. I mean, you can use the words of Christ that we talked about. And I command you to be silent. My heart belongs to the Lord, right? Something along the lines of that. And I said, make sure you say it out loud. And Karen said, oh, I'm not very good at praying out loud, right? And that's when we realized that work, that joint partnership, that movement of God, and bringing her into his kingdom. Right? What would you say, Karen?
Well, you don't know what happened next.
Please tell us.
Think Lori knows.
Please tell us.
I don't like to speak out loud. And I came home, and there's just a lot of that sitting on my house. And I try and move out, and things are good, and I come home to it. And I walked in, and I shouted at my house with authority.
Yeah.
With his authority. And my house is a disaster. It's a huge mess. I moved nothing in the house. And Eli came home, and he came up to me, and he said, did you clean the house?
Love it.
Out of nowhere.
I love it.
There was nothing physical to
it. Love it. Yeah. So I'm not sure if you caught that, but there was darkness sitting around Karen's house. She came back, rebuked it, and sent it. And her son comes home from school and goes, something's different. Did you clean up, Mom? Yeah, absolutely. Okay, let's thank Karen. Thank you for sharing at the last second. Yeah, bless you. Welcome. Okay, thanks. Good job, Karen. What I want you to hear there is that submission to Christ changes your life. Submission to Christ gives you power to live your life. Now, there are areas in all of our lives that we are holding on to and keeping for ourselves. One of the things that we'll talk to coming up is that Jesus told us, Peter, Paul tell us that it's important that we submit to the authorities around us. Because that's God's will. Now, that doesn't mean that we throw ourselves under the bus. It doesn't mean that when they tell us to stop praying, we stop praying. There is a limit. We'll talk about that. But there are areas in our lives, and the Holy Spirit is pressing on those areas right now as I'm speaking and saying, hey, I want you to let go of that. It might be around pornography, like what Dan was mentioning earlier. It might be in your area of relationships. God's speaking it to you right now, and he's saying, hey, I want you to have all of my peace. Not just a little, not just a part measure. I want you to have all of my peace. But that means you've got to give it away. You've got to give it to me. Okay, so I'm going to invite our prayer teams, if you can make your way forward. And we're going to have a communion that is going right here as well. And we're just going to move into a time of prayer. Now, I want us to continue in a vein of celebration, because the reality is, church, when we submit our lives to Jesus, we have full access to joy, to peace, to celebration, even in the midst of really difficult times. And so grab on to Karen, give her a little welcome hug. And I want you to take note that God is moving, okay? I mentioned somebody else earlier or last month who we prayed with to receive Jesus. Karen's come to know Jesus. I also want you to know that it's not just because I'm a pastor that you have the same spirit of Jesus in you and can come alongside people and be sensitive, and Jesus will use you to lead people to him. Let's pray. Can I invite you to stand? Jesus, we stand as your church. We stand encouraged. We stand challenged. We stand continuing to pray for our sister Casey, who is living that beautiful life of submission. And we ask again, Lord, your healing on her body. We ask that you would reveal your presence in a miraculous way so that it would evidence your truth and your reality to those who do not yet know you. Lord, that's our heart, for the world to come to know you. And so, Jesus, I pray right now, I pray an opening into all of the places that we have held hidden, all those rooms that we have held closed. Just pray that those doors would start to open, Lord, that your light would move into those places, that you would begin cleaning our homes. We recognize, wow, Lord, we recognize that our role in that is submission and that you are the one who does the real work. And so come and work in our hearts, oh Lord. We love you. We ask your movement. We ask your blessing in this church and through this church into our community. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Church, be blessed. Be encouraged this week. Go with the Spirit of Jesus in you and bring that light to the world around you. Just want to remind you and invite you, if there's something that's heavy on your heart, we've got teams up here that want to pray with you. If there's something that caught you and you want to renew your vows, renew that covenant with Jesus, we have communion here as well. And so just invite you to move into that space. Be blessed, church.